Okay, we're ready. Just come off a mute for a moment and just say hello so we know you're there tonight. Just say hello, I'm here.
Hello, Ron Calmy's here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, I just got back from Dallas. I got to watch these principles in action. I thought I'd spend just a moment just sharing with you the excitement of what just happened. We were invited to be a part of a program called the Urban U-Turn in Dallas, Texas. They take all the inner city schools and they invite them to come to the SMU Stadium, Ford Stadium, for a three-hour event. These are kids that come from really challenged schools. They had 4,000 students come on a Saturday. They volunteer, register to come. The school system buses them in. And they just put on one heck of a program for them. It was just a delight to be there. I've got some of the most fascinating pictures of these students. June Jones, who is the coach, many of you know his history. He turned around the program in Hawaii and the program at SMU, the two most dramatic turnarounds in college football history. And the more I get to know June, the more I know why. He practices these principles. He's a Napoleon Hill fan. He's an Og Mandino fan. He practices these principles. This is what he does. I heard more stories about him this weekend than I've heard today, just in one weekend. Stories of individuals that he just saw and stepped into their world and changed their lives forever. He had nothing to gain. Just his way of giving service. And as we're talking about intrinsic validation, stepping into people's worlds, it's interesting that those who accomplish things at a very high level, such as that, you turn a program around, football program around, it's not surprising to find that kind of character, a naturally intrinsically validating, driven, persistent individual. Well, Saturday night, we went over to his house, and we're sitting around the swimming pool. He's got the golf course behind him and the pool in the house and good food. One of the Gatlin brothers came over, and along with Stephen Lee from his staff, and they got guitars, and we sang songs for hours. And I had the privilege of spending several hours this weekend with Lee Steinberg. Lee's just an amazing human being. If anybody watched Jerry Maguire, the movie Jerry Maguire, he's the one the movie was made about. It's not a true depiction, but he's the one that inspired the movie. He's represented so many people. I think 6 out of 7 years he had the number one draft choice. He's had 4 quarterbacks win the Super Bowl. He's had 8 players inducted in the Hall of Fame. Just an amazing human being who lost his way. And I can tell you this because it's public knowledge that he was decertified as an agent because of his alcohol. His vodka just took over, lost his family, lost everything. He's been sober for 3 years. He said his number one client is himself. I see another Og Mandino story in the offing, watching this person take on his life and watch how he handled himself with everybody this weekend. It was just so exciting. I mentioned his name. Yeah, it was fun to be with him. And he's just a great guy. He's just a great human being. But Sunday, I'm sitting in my hotel room. We gone to church together with June and his family and several other guests who were there and the Gatlin brother and all those things that were there. And I went back to the hotel, and I was mentally rehearsing. We'll be talking about this next week. I was mentally rehearsing what I was going to say to the football team the next morning. It was my turn. He has somebody come in each week to inspire his teams, and this week was my turn to come in and speak to them. I was so excited, and I'm pondering the kinds of things I want to say to these incredible superhuman beings. These are almost freaks of nature. I mean, their defensive end was just drafted in the second round, Margus Hunt. And I met Margus Monday morning in the gym. Margus is 6'8", 290 pounds. And if you understand speed, he runs a 4.640. I mean, that's what you expect out of 5'10 halfback, you know? This guy's a monster. Anyway, point being, I'm mentally rehearsing this event, and all of a sudden, I see in my mental rehearsal Lee standing in front of the group speaking. And it was such a strong impression. And I learned to trust those impressions. So when June picked me up to take me to the athletic banquet for SMU Sunday night, I said, I just had the strangest experience, and I shared it with him. And June's comment back was, that's a God thing, Dave. That's a God thing. And I said, good, when I get back to the hotel, I'll talk to him, because he wasn't come to the banquet. He wanted to just get some rest. And so I got back to the hotel, and I called Lee and asked him, told him what had happened, asked him if he'd be willing to speak. And he says, what time? And I said, well, we're leaving at 7:30. And he's on California time, so that was like 5:30 in the morning for him. And he'd been going 90 miles an hour for several days. And he went, oh, okay, I'll see you at 7:30. So he goes in there with us. And we had this amazing experience with these 65 football players. We talked about character. We talked about letting go of fear. We talked about giving. Showing up and being an example in their walk privately, publicly. We talked about showing up for each other and the importance of the fact that most of us in life are not going to be the first string. We're not going to be the first string players. We're going to be the second string. And our job is to make sure everybody performs at their highest to be ready to step in the event somebody goes down. We talked about how you win as a team. In the book, Today I Begin a New Life, in the section on mental rehearsal, I talk about Peter Vidmar's story, and practice makes permanent. Makes permanent. We talked about that. And I end with the idea of giving back and lifting and building everybody on your team and people you run into on the campus, because people know who you are. They respect you just because of the position you hold. That's a tremendous responsibility. Then I turn it over to Lee. And he's such a really a humble guy, considering where he's been and who he is. And he spent the next few minutes talking about all the great players that he's represented and how they gave back. I had no idea. I heard some, you know, they have foundations, they do certain things. Warren Moon put 600 kids through college. Another one had a soft spot for single moms and put the down payments on hundreds of homes for moms. He just went on down the list of all these incredible things that people do and just cemented it, something nobody else could say. Just humbly, gracefully talked about these great people and the kinds of things they do. It was a moving experience. I walked away from the weekend not enamored by someone who's got a big title, but by the fact that it's not surprising when you find somebody at the top of their game or their business to discover that they, in fact, got there practicing principles. Nobody handed it to them. They got there practicing principles. I came back just on fire. I reread Think and Grow Rich this weekend. I read on Friday on the plane 3 Feet from Gold. I highly recommend those two books for you. As you're going through that, Today I Begin a New Life, as we're learning these principles, become a reader, because leaders are readers. These guys I met just consume literature. They consume 2-3 books a week, and they're extremely busy. They just are so hungry to expand the possibilities and learn new ideas, and they take from all of these and create amazing things in their lives. So I encourage you to go. I'm sure you got those books in your library. If you don't, 3 Feet from Gold is relatively new. Greg Reed and Sharon Lecter wrote that together with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. I have some fun with this. Take this on. Get excited about life. If you're ever feeling depressed or down or frustrated or overwhelmed, I just love 3 Feet from Gold, because it tells you just how close you might be. and how many people might have quit 3 feet from goal, and how many people didn't, and what happened as a result when they were totally down. There are stories in there about people in businesses who spent most of their time talking to creditors, you know, who were, one guy said, they were told to file bankruptcy, so they met with a bankruptcy attorney, and he needed $30,000 so they could file bankruptcy, and they said, if we had $30,000, we wouldn't need to go bankrupt. And so they just worked through it. They fought through it. I felt a new fire in my life after this weekend, hanging out with these great folks, reading those two books, and then be able to meet with you tonight to go back into these principles. These aren't just good ideas. I have watched great men practice them and great women practice them. And what happens in their life is nothing short of miraculous. Now, last week we talked about agape, this heightened level of awareness. We talked about taking our stuff out of our sack. We didn't talk as much about that as we normally do. But the Chicago Dream, we want to take the stuff out of our sack. Ask, is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? That's really the secret to this whole process. Because we're shifting our focus from dragging our sack to focusing on others. That's the secret. That's the secret sauce to the whole process, is shifting that focus and going, wow, is anybody else suffering from a similar wound? And we say, sure, there is. Then we engrave that experience on our heart. It becomes part of our character, who we are. We own it. We can now show up and be honest. I mean, I'm sitting here with a man who could demand a seven-figure salary today, who's lost everything. And there just wasn't any energy around it. There just wasn't any energy around it other than humility. It was just amazing to watch. So wherever you are, don't let the current set of circumstances define who you are. I want everybody to write this down. I have a cash flow problem. I have a cash flow problem. Now, that's not true of everyone. And some have other challenges in relationships and other things. That's true. But the vast majority of the people on this call tonight, the vast majority, they just have a cash flow problem. That's all. Just a cash flow problem. So next time you're down, when you're getting ready to pay your bills, and maybe there's not enough money to do it, and you're feeling frustrated, say, I got a cash flow problem. So let's go solve the cash flow problem. Let's not beat ourselves up. Let's not go into the depths of depression. Let's not get discouraged by what's happening. There is of no value in doing so. Let's get that out of our sack, into our hand, if you will, and look at it. Anybody else suffering from a similar wound? Grave it on our hearts, part of our character. So that when we're practicing these principles of intrinsic validation, it's readily available for us to use our experience. Now, we talked about the step of noticing others, looking for what's important. This could be really harder than most people think. And most of us see more than we say. Most of us are living in our heads. We're like in a cocoon, even in the middle of a busy place. Speaking, saying, gets us into the now. That's our bridge to the now. That's why we don't just want to see it. Oh, yeah, I noticed this, I noticed that, yeah. It doesn't matter, because we're still in our head. We want to shift out of our head and get into the here and now, and we verbalize to be able to do that. That brings us present in the now. So we see it and we verbalize. Then we shift to that deeper part we started to get into last week, where we're now going to start caring about people. Actually caring. And some people show it differently. Some people are very emotional in their caring. Some are just doers in their caring. One of the keys in both cases is becoming a listener. A listener. I want to be a listener. First thing we're going to listen for is that door. A door to open up. Because remember, they got a big wall around them, big oak door hanging on iron hinges. We want to listen for that door to open up for them to say something. That or we knock on the door. A little knock, and they open the door, and then they say something in response, and we say, well, tell me more about that. Might knock and say hi. I just wanted to meet with you and get your opinion on XYZ. Would you be willing to meet with me? whatever it might be, that little knock. Otherwise, we're just connecting with people and listening to people. I had some amazing experience this weekend to just listen. There were some times when I wanted to feel like I was way over my head. Whew. That's the thought that comes into me that's sabotaging. David, what are you doing here? And I go, Who told me that? That was a sermon on Sunday. Who told you that? And to shut that off. Because this wasn't about me. This is about me serving them. It's always about us serving them. It's always about us listening to them and helping a person feel understood. And that's where we headed last week. We started talking about we're now listening. We're safe. We're safe because we're not jumping down their throat the minute they stop breathing. Or stop speaking, excuse me. They stop to take a breath, jump on them like a fox on a mouse. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to count 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. We're going to lean in. They say, well, what do you think? I'm just listening. Or a minute ago, you mentioned something about this. Could you tell me more about that? Because we want to know. We would like to know where they are. I'd like to really understand this person. So we are safe. We create a safe place by asking those empathetic questions. Now, I want to emphasize this is an interrogation. This is not an interrogation. This is just, well, share with me. Someone says, that's what I got to share. Well, thank you so much for sharing. That's it. Someone keeps sharing, and we keep listening. And most of the time when we create that safe place, it'll pull them in like air into a vacuum. Because people are starving to be heard. Because people aren't listening. They're listening long enough to find an opening in the other person's conversation so they can jump in and deliver their own. This isn't healthy. And here's the process. As we continue being safe and creating a safe place, trust begins to be established. They can trust that we really are there for their best interest. Trust has those requirements. Integrity, we walk our talk. Intention, it's mutually beneficial. I listen and understand, cooperation floods out to me, mutually beneficial. I'm demonstrating my ability to listen. And the results of this, those four pillars of trust. And as I do this, and trust begins to build, the walls start to come down. And once the walls are down, that's when we're back to where we started last week. Walls are now down. And we've learned something. Now what do? You see, intrinsic validation isn't about listening forever and never saying anything. It's step one, be safe and create a safe place until the walls are down. And the walls come down when, just write this down, when someone feels understood. That's the gift we give. It's not the advice we're going to give. It's not the solution to their problems. That's not the gift. The gift is them feeling understood. That's the gift. If they feel understood and the walls come down, we literally can shake their hands and say, thank you so much for sharing. I wish you the very best. But most of the time, we're going to be in a position where we have a business that we might be promoting. And as we're listening, we're discovering lots of stuff about these folks. And if you're like me, I carry my journal everywhere I go. Got it right here. If I look at my journal, it's got the name of a linebacker that I'm going to be assessing. Here's when you'll smile. Mel Gibson. Conversation this morning with her movie people. There's, I want that to infer anything because there's nothing yet. It's just an interesting conversation. Assessment ideas. Had an idea on the plane yesterday, so I wrote it down. I go back, and I have notes from the sermon from the minister that was preaching on Sunday. one, two, three, four pages. Isn't that cool? So I'm on a script on a movie. I mean, this goes with me everywhere I go. This is an extension of me. I write down all kinds of things about people. This is what you want to do. You want to start taking notes. Because if you're talking to someone, you're sitting over lunch, nobody minds if you open up a journal and start taking notes. And if they say, what are you writing down? I just say the truth. Well, a minute ago you said something about that you're interested in nutritionals, or you're interested in face care, or you have a challenge with a son. I want to ask you more about that when it's a good time. Is this a good time? Could you tell me more about your son? Really interested in knowing what happened. Oh, sure. The very fact that you care enough about them, that you're not focused on what you want, what you need, jumping in and clogging up their world with your story, you're there for them. People don't do that. Now, we're going to, because we're going to become rare people. And this is really a rare gift. So take your journal, write those things down when you're listening to someone. It's wonderful to talk about. I was talking with June Jones' wife, Diane. Now I got right here. Three girls, one boy, house in Oregon, one in Hawaii. And I just take notes because, gosh, those things are fascinating. Then you see them later that evening, you can ask questions about those things. It's so important for someone to know that you care about them. And the more we do, the more the walls come down. And when the walls are down, there's your list. I call this a new moment of decision. I think the material in your Intentional Creation Studio called it a pivotal moment of decision. This is when you make the decision. It sounds like this. Is there anything that I have that would truly serve them? Truly serve them. Now, there might be some things in self-esteem. It says, well, I'm going to share something with them I'm not currently experiencing myself, so I don't want to be selling a dream and living a nightmare. Well, think through that a little bit. If what I have would truly serve them. For example, someone's very concerned about aging, and maybe you're in a network marketing company that's got a great aging product. Wouldn't you want to share that? The answer is absolutely so. Intentional creation is not just about avoiding. Excuse me, it's not at all about avoiding. It's about understanding. Because with understanding comes a removal of the walls, and with the removal of the walls comes a clear list of everything they're working on that you've guided them through in the conversation. Wow. You know, I really could serve them. And just ask yourself this one question. Is it mutually beneficial? Am I going to share this just because it would help me? Or am I going to share this because this would serve both of us? Is that possible? Will this serve both of us? Now, there's a dream in the book, and it's also shared in the recordings in the studio, quality number one, where we talk about the man in the emotional prison on top of the mountain couldn't leave, and I went down and moved a sailboat. I'm not going to rehearse that with you. All of you have heard it before. But when I moved his sailboat for him, I knew it was in a safe place. I knew in the fibers of my being it was in the right place. I could go back with great confidence and tell him that. And that dream, as I've shared before, that sailboat represented his dreams. He needed me to tell him where to put his dreams. And sometimes people just need some direction. They don't know what to do. They need someone to tell them what to do. There's nothing wrong with that. You just don't do it before the walls are down, or you're just going to be thrown up on their wall. And if you've got something of value, then the next decision is this the right time? It's timing. Because timing's everything. Sometimes it's just not the right time to share. But if it is, that's a wonderful thing to discover, then you do it. If it's not, then you do it the next day. If you built a bridge, you can pick the conversation up the next day. Nothing lost. I was talking recently to a group of salespeople, and I said, you know, that one of the challenges with the statistics in sales that they say, don't let the person out of the store before they buy, because chances of them coming back are pretty limited. And I say the chances of them coming back are in direct proportion to the way in which they were approached. This is applied most aggressively with automobile dealerships. They leave the dealership, they'll go somewhere else. Well, the truth is, by the time they leave the dealership, they're so relieved to get away, they'd never want to come back. They don't want to have that experience again. But if we built a bridge and they feel understood and we've scheduled a time, there's a high probability it'll happen. When you meet back together, you say, yesterday, we talked about this, this, and this. Do you have any more that you want to share with me on those topics? Yeah, I do. Well, share with me. And so they do. What have you been thinking about since we talked yesterday? Well, I've been thinking about this and this. Is this information important for us to know? It's critical to know. So we step right back into their world. We don't pick up where we left off, where we're going to share. We just reestablish the bridge. And when the time comes, either tomorrow or today, to share, sharing happens with an invitation. We invite them to come with us into our world. Now, we don't say it that overtly, but it sounds like this. When you are sharing, and I've got my journal open, as if I'm reviewing my notes, you mentioned this piece and that piece. And this piece, how important is this piece to you? Okay. You know, I think I have a solution for that. Are you open to solutions? Now, there's a statement for those of you in the network marketing profession that's asked early on, do you keep your options open for other sources of passive income? Oh, man. So MLM-ish. I mean, it's like a big red flag. Pull out the silver cross or the dagger. They're about to suck blood out of me. It's got that kind of energy to it. But at this moment, it is absolutely appropriate. Are you open to solutions to this kind of a challenge? Absolutely. I'd love to share it with you. May I? Well, yes. It's as if you're taking them by their arm, leading them out of their house, their little castle, into yours. And now you get to share. Boldly, courageously, without excuse, without hesitation. Those things that would serve them and are mutually beneficial. Help them and help you. You're not comfortable telling them about that in detail, either way. How it helps them, and how it'll help you. You're comfortable with it. You share it. If you're not comfortable about this, it's probably a clue to you that you might not want to be sharing it, and or we've got thought processes coming up on the right-hand side of your assessment that are getting in the way. It doesn't mean because you're uncomfortable that you shouldn't press forward. It could absolutely mean you've got dialogue that is destroying your self-confidence. That's not the efficacy of the product. That's the comfort you have with yourself, about yourself. So press forward. You'll get more confidence as you do this. And you share. Now, if an objection comes up, and if you've really stepped into their world and you've anticipated those things, you will have already addressed them. But if one comes up that you weren't expecting, it's okay. No panic, and certainly don't answer their objection. Don't answer it, because it's not a question. It's almost always a statement that demands a question. Share with me your experience. What's happened in the past? How's that working for you? And you find out more. Most objections get handled just with a conversation. Of, again, understanding where they are and the walls come down. When it's time, you understand where they are. You shared with them solutions. There may be, depending on the kinds of solution, a call to action. a time when we get started. In most sales situations, it's not a close. It's a beginning. I say to the client, looks like we found a solution that's comfortable for you, that works. Yes. Let's get started. What do? Well, we start by filling out this information, and I want you to show up to the first meeting at such and such, and we need to decide which products you want to start with first to meet this issue and this issue and this issue. It's an invitation to get started. I'm speaking as I know a lot of you on the phone, not all, but many of you are in the multi-level marketing business. And one of the great risks is that if you drew, and I did this with several of you in your coaching classes and individuals, a horizontal line on a piece of paper about 8 inches long, made a little notch on the left, a little notch on the right. Now go on the left-hand side and move to the right just about a half an inch and make another notch. In a network marketing business, the first half inch is recruiting the person, and the last 7.5 inches is turning them into a leader. You don't even get to the 7.5 inches till you've got them in the business. Yet most of us are paralyzed long before we get to the half inch. That's why these principles are so important for you, so that you can become increasingly comfortable looking for what's important, stepping into someone's world, being safe, creating a safe place, having walls come down, making those discoveries after the person feels understood. The timing is right, and it's mutually beneficial to share. Gain agreement and share. Step into their world when there's an objection. Once in time, invite them to begin. Because that's a half an inch in. Let's get started. We got a lifetime ahead of us. Let's get started. And people who do that in every facet of life, whether they're selling a car or a house, it's about the relationship. They invest more in what happens after the check is written than they ever did before. Telltale sign of a great person. Okay. Well, one last thing, and then I want to open this up for questions. One of the great risks is if we're already kind of shy and uncomfortable talking to people. Intrinsic validation just has us prolong the process and get stuck in an endless loop of talking to people who want to just drain us like an emotional vampire. That's not what this is for. You can be talking to someone and realize you're talking to an emotional vampire, and you can step out of the conversation. Well, thank you for sharing. Appreciate your time. Thank you. Goodbye. You're not here to be sucked dry. So you want to be able to set those boundaries. And sometimes, when you step into a person's world, you're going to find out they're a rattlesnake. There are not very many of them. Met one recently. There are not very many of them. But when you meet one, they're not always angry people. They're not always greedy people. Sometimes they're just scary people that are a little antisocial. They don't even know that what they're doing is inappropriate and less than integrous. So just watch. If you're dealing with someone like that, especially if you're in a business, don't invite them in. Do not make them a partner in your business, so to speak. Don't be responsible for their success or failure. Because rattlesnakes, when you put them in your sleeping bag, and later that night you climb in, they always bite. There is never an exception. They always bite. Because that's what rattlesnakes do. So don't put rattlesnakes in your sleeping bag. Just don't put them in there. Okay. So here we are, caring about people, looking for what's important, stepping in their world, taking down walls. We have things we can share. We share them appropriately. We honor people. We're not being warm and fuzzy. This isn't about warm and fuzzy. This is about accuracy. It's about respect. That's intrinsic validation. Okay, I want to open up to any questions anyone might have this evening, because we're going to go out now and practice this with full force, because next week we're going to come back and we're going to first take on mental rehearsal. Oh, this I shared with you earlier. A couple experiences this weekend from mental rehearsal and inspiration that are just still rocking my world. These are so powerful when they're applied in our life and we listen to those promptings. So that's next week. But let me open this up. Anyone that has a question or comment tonight about intrinsic validation? If you're talking, you're on mute, so just know that. Well, thank you all for coming tonight. Let's take these principles. We'll want to read scroll number 2 3 times a day. Now, if you're on the scrolls and you're reading through them and you're on a different scroll, stay on the scroll that you're in right now. If you're doing the 10 months, stay on the scroll you're on. If you're not, go to scroll 2 and let's read it 3 times a day. This week, let's faithfully do that, because what we're saying is I want to feed my soul. I want to awaken my consciousness so that when I'm stepping into a situation with a person on the phone or in person, text message or email, I am conscious about what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. I'm conscious about how I'm listening. I care about this person. I am conscious. Because in that scroll log makes a powerful statement about taking enemies and turning them into brothers. And how we can melt all hearts like in the sun is rays soften the coldest clay. Let us practice these with vigilance this week, scroll number 2, and come back next week prepared to go into how we're going to start controlling our mind. Because the vast majority of you have very active thought processes. And if you're not practicing our tomahawk and not going there today and staying in one of these 5 constructive ways of thinking, what I do know is you're over here in fantasy, catastrophe, counterfeit forms of pleasure, and it's eating you alive. And so we want to stop this. So let's next week come back prepared to go into those principles. I sure appreciate all of you. Thanks for being here tonight, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Good night.